mystery of crime detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant Tinker, and Heather Chasen as his secretary Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called Double and Quit.
What time is Eustace Crail due, Paula?
If he's punctual, in 1 minute, Mr. Blake.
He's always punctual. I believe he lurks somewhere with one eye on his watch so that he can be on the dot.
See you after this time, Governor.
I've no idea.
It could be anything with Mr. Crail. The last time he came here, we all ended up in the middle of the Sahara Desert. I haven't recovered from that camel yet.
I don't know which looked more pained, you or the camel.
I behaved with my usual natural dignity.
Oh, yes, quite. And if I remember rightly, the camel didn't. And that's Crail now. Shoot him into the living room, Paula. Tape the interview as usual, Tinker.
Okay, Governor.
Good morning, Mr. Crail. Mr. Blake is expecting you.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Dane? You look as charming as ever.
Thank you.
If ever you feel like changing your employment, there's always a post for you in Department 7, you know.
I'm afraid by that time my age would prevent me from being of any service to you, Mr. Crail. And Mr. Blake is in the living room. You know the way, don't you?
I do, indeed.
Come in, Crail.
Thank you.
Now, sit down. And try one of these cigars.
No, thanks. Are you very busy at the moment, Blake?
Yes, but what are you getting at?
The department wants your help. A rather difficult mission.
It's an amusing word, mission. It has the connotation of no return. What kind of mission?
Unusual. You're the only man who might carry it out successfully.
Might?
There's a certain element of danger.
Ah, you see what I mean by its connotation. All right, tell me what it's all about.
Charles Rayner.
Charles Rayner. The spy, now serving a long prison sentence.
That's right. As you know, he started as a British agent working for the department in West Germany, was contacted by the Russians, and acted for some time as a double agent.
With the full approval of your department?
We thought it was a good idea. Our plan was that he should pass on false information.
Whereas, in actual fact, he had access to information of the greatest importance, which he was giving to the Russians and getting well paid for it.
Until we found him out.
Which was more by luck than intelligence on the part of your lot.
We simply couldn't believe that Rayner had turned traitor.
Naivety has become synonymous with British intelligence.
There's no need for sarcasm, Blake. Take us a hope we do a pretty good job, you know.
Yes, that's the astonishing part. Anyway, why go over all this old hat stuff about Rayner? I mean, he's locked up in prison.
That's the point. We found out there's a plan afoot for his escape.
If you know about it, it should be easy enough to prevent it.
We don't want to prevent it, at least not apparently.
Get out of the habit of ministerial ambiguity, Crail, and tell me in plain English what you want.
Rayner made friends in prison with a man called Patrick O'Mara. O'Mara was serving a 7-year sentence for robbery with violence, which ended 6 weeks ago, and he was released. Our information is that he and some former friends of his have planned an escape for Rayner.
Why? What's their interest in Rayner?
Money. The operation is to be planned and financed by foreign agents, but they don't want to appear openly in it, naturally. They don't risk a diplomatic incident.
And what's your scheme, Crail?
Quite a neat little scheme, I think. I don't have to tell you there are quite a lot of foreign agents in this country, not all of them foreigners. We know some of them, but there are a great number that we don't know.
I see the idea. You're going to let Rayner escape so that he'll lead you to the men you want.
You've got the gist of it. But you haven't gone far enough. We want to know a great deal more about these foreign agents than we could learn by just having Rayner followed, and particularly the resident director. What we propose to do is substitute a double for Rayner and let the double escape.
Quite an idea. Who thought that one up?
I did.
You're improving. Of course, the whole plan depends on the double, doesn't it?
That's why I'm here.
Now, just a minute. Are you suggesting I should be the double?
You're the only man who can do it, Blake. In build and to some extent in features, you're like Rayner.
What about his voice, personal mannerisms, all the things that make a unique personality, a recognizable individual?
You'll have plenty of opportunity to study him. According to our information, the escape is planned for a month from now.
Reliable information?
One of our best men.
How many people in the department know of this scheme?
Only myself at the moment.
Can you guarantee to keep it like that?
Well, the governor of the prison will have to know. The idea is to smuggle Rayner out and you in.
No, come on, don't go so fast. I haven't agreed to do it.
If you don't, it'll have to be dropped. There's no one else who would carry it off.
The danger is it'll leak out. Your department hasn't the best reputation for security at the moment, has it?
I assure you, Blake.
If I do this, I must insist that nobody, and I mean nobody, is given the slightest inkling of the plan except yourself and the prison governor.
I'll agree to that. The exchange can be made in the governor's private quarters.
What do you propose to do with the real Rayner?
He'll be transferred to another prison.
No, it's much too risky. You come in contact with too many people that way.
Well, what do you suggest?
I've a friend who runs a small private mental home in an isolated part of Cornwall. Rayner would be quite safe there, with Tinker as an additional precaution.
Well, if you think it would be safer.
I do. Now, the next thing, you must arrange for me to become a prisoner in the same prison as Rayner, so I can study him.
I was going to suggest a warder.
A prisoner would be better, preferably in the same block. I shan't look at all like myself, of course.
You're going to do this, Blake?
I haven't made up my mind. I'll let you know definitely this evening. Where will you be at 7 o'clock?
At home?
I'll phone you. Just yes or no. If I do this, we'll have to meet again and go over the details.
Anytime, anywhere. I can't tell you how grateful I
should
be.
You may not have anything to be grateful for, Crail.
Oh, no.
Even if I decide to attempt this, I might not be successful.
I do wish you wouldn't do this, Mr. Blake. It's going to be terribly dangerous.
It wouldn't be the first time we've risked a spot of danger, Paula.
I know, but this is different.
You'll be sticking your neck right out, Governor. And one slip, bingo, you've had it.
There mustn't be any slip.
Well, supposing you don't get away with it. I mean, what happens if you get whisked off behind the Iron Curtain?
That would be a little awkward. And also quite interesting.
Yes, but you might never be able to get back.
Why don't they get one of their own agents to do the job?
Because I bear a certain physical resemblance to Rayner.
Oh, there are so many ways it could go wrong, Mr. Blake. You couldn't possibly learn everything about Rayner.
I know that, Paula. I just have to use my wits.
Well, they won't be much good to you when your body's lying riddled with bullets.
Naturally, I meant before such a misfortune occurred.
It isn't funny.
I don't trust Crail's bunch. One little leak and you've had it before you start.
Nobody except Crail and the prison governor will know anything.
Oh, Mr. Crail is just a nasty old man.
Well, since I'm not an attractive young girl, that doesn't really affect the situation.
I wish you'd turn the whole thing down.
Me too.
I'm sorry, but I'm going through with it.
Well, if you've made your mind up, I suppose nothing will make you change it.
It's a pity you can't be locked up.
I'm going to be, for a month while I study Rayner.
Oh, you can joke about it now, but you won't be feeling so funny if they catch you.
I have a great sense of self-preservation.
You can't foresee everything.
I know. I'll have to play most of it off the cuff.
Well, there'll be something that we can do, won't there?
Oh, plenty. You'll have to hold the fort while I'm away. Tinker will be with you for a month, and then he'll be down in Cornwall looking after Rayner.
While I just stay here taking telephone calls and stalling anyone who wants to see you.
There'll be more to it than that. With the help of Didcot and Nichols, you'll be keeping tabs on me.
But how?
You'll take rooms near the prison. When I know how and when my escape is planned to take place, I'll get a message to you. It will be up to you to see that I'm followed wherever I go.
Looks like being a tall order.
You'll manage, Paula. Don't forget, these people won't expect to tell.
How are they making contact with Rayner, or rather with you, so you'll know what to do?
I don't know. I have to wait and see. Meanwhile, I get hold of Splash Kirby, and he can spread it around that I've gone abroad for an indefinite period.
I only hope that doesn't turn out to be true.
Come in. I brought Frensham, sir.
All right, Collins. Wait outside, will you? I'll call when I want you to take this man back to his cell.
Very good, sir. Well, well. I'd never have known you, Blake.
That was rather the idea, Crail.
Certainly look a tough specimen, doesn't he, Colonel? Huh?
Nobody'd know that he wasn't William Frensham serving a sentence for robbery and assault.
What?
Oh, there's no such person, of course. But if there were, I'm sure he'd look just like that. While I've been governor of this prison, I've met a number of that type.
Thanks. And what are you doing here, Crail?
I came to see how you're getting on with Rayner. You've been here 3 weeks. How do you feel you're making out?
Well, I think I've absorbed quite a lot of Rayner's mannerisms and character, but you shouldn't be here, Crail. It's risking the success of the whole plan. It's nothing of the sort. If the people who are going to spring Rayner saw you...
How could they?
You're in intelligence. Why not use a bit? This prison must be watched. I mean, you're known to the people behind this operation.
Look here, I had to come. Time's getting short. Are you ready to take Rayner's place?
Yes, when you like.
You feel that you can carry off the impersonation successfully?
Yes, I've had a lot of contact with Rayner during free association time. How's this? It's not so bad in here if you behave yourself. I like reading, and there are always plenty of interesting books in the library. I've acquired a lot of useful information, you know.
That's marvelous. Rayner to the life.
Excellently. How long will it take you to change your appearance to Rayner?
Now, I've got to get rid of this Frensham makeup. Say, a couple of hours?
Right. We'll make the switch at midnight tonight.
Frensham will have to be transferred to another prison later this afternoon.
I'll send two men down to collect him. We don't want any of the prison staff in on this.
A slight amendment, Crail. Two men from Scotland Yard. I'll give you a note to Chief Inspector Coutts.
If you can't trust me, Blake...
Crail, our bargain was that only you, in the department, were to know anything about this business.
But surely...
I'm taking the risk. It's up to me to minimize it as much as possible.
Oh, very well, if you wish.
Right. Then we get rid of Frensham this afternoon. I come back by the governor's private entrance and remain up here, making up as Charles Rayner. Rayner is brought up here, drugged and smuggled out to Tinker, who will be waiting at the private entrance in a car. Rayner will be taken straight down to Cornwall. I shall return to his cell as Rayner. Agreed?
Yes. Then we await developments.
As you say, then we await developments.
Yeah, Rainer.
What is it?
I've got a message for you from your pals outside.
Come over here. Pretend to be looking at this book with me.
It's tonight. While free time's still on. You know the drill?
A window on the second floor landing.
One of the bars have been cut through. You can trot onto an IR's roof and then to the ground, see?
And straight to the wall.
A ladder will be chucked over to you. Now, if you time it right, there's 8 minutes before the patrol gets round again.
They've given me a pretty short notice.
Well, I don't know nothing about it, mate. I'm just a postman, see? The word was passed to me by one of the blokes on parole. Well, you know, the chaps what are due for release. What are allowed to work outside normal jobs.
It doesn't give me long. It's 6:30 now. Free association finishes at 7.
Oh, you'll make it, mate. Here, watch it. Here comes the screw.
What's the book, Rainer? Economics of the Social State. Thinking of becoming the Chancellor of the Exchequer, got it?
No, head of the Bank of England.
Wouldn't be much left in the vaults if you did.
Oh, I'd leave enough for your pension. So long, mate. Got a job to do.
I'll go and read in myself, I think.
You're welcome. I prefer a good thriller myself. Oh, nasty night outside. Dark as hell and raining.
Doesn't worry me. I'm not going anywhere.
Any news yet, Mr. Zidcott?
Nothing, Miss Dane.
Oh, this is going to drive me around the bend.
Take it easy. Mr. Blake said he'd let us know, didn't he?
But supposing he can't? I mean, supposing he hasn't the chance? Then what do we do?
Well, I don't
know. We're helpless. I mean, once they spring him, it'll be too late. He'll be whisked off and we shan't have the faintest idea where to. It could be a Moscow before you could say knife.
We can only wait. There's nothing else to do.
Oh, where's Nichols?
He'll be here in half an hour. He's left a man watching the prison.
Oh, well, that's something, I suppose. If only we knew how they were going to get Mr. Blake out.
And when?
Is everything else taken care of?
Yes, 2 cars ready and waiting, both fitted with radio telephones. They can keep in touch with each other.
I wanted Mr. Blake to take a small 2-way radio with him, but he wouldn't.
It would have been too risky. If
only we knew what was happening. Oh, blast, I keep on saying that.
I know how you feel.
But this is about the most dangerous thing he's ever done, and so many things could go wrong.
He's pretty good at taking care of himself, Miss Dane. He usually thinks he'll jump ahead.
Well, he can't jump ahead of the entire Kremlin, can he? Unless they find out he's not Rainer.
Ah, that's the danger.
Paula Dane? When? Yes. Yes, all right. That was the prison governor. What's the time?
6:45.
That's what I make it. The escape will be before 7.
7?
It may be happening now. Come on, we've got to be in time.
Warn the other car.
Hello? Hello? PD2N? PD2N? Yes, listen. Escape any minute now. Watch out. Well, that'll be it. All right, we'll be ready. Covered van has just pulled up near the prison wall. Nichols' man is watching from the other end of the lane.
If they go that way, he'll follow and keep in touch with us on the phone.
Well, we can do the same if they come this way. I mean, it can't be more than a matter of seconds.
Wish it wasn't so dark. Can't see far.
I wish it was Nichols in the other car.
He's sure to put on one of his best men. Don't worry about that.
You can't lose that van.
We're 2-1. That's the van. Here we go.
PD2N? Yes. Just past us. We're on our way. You trail us. Right, we will. Mr. Blake is in that van. They've got him out over the wall.
I wonder what they're making for.
Whatever it is, I hope to heaven we don't lose them before they get there.
You are surprised, Mr. Rainer. You did not expect to be brought here.
Frankly, no. Are you working for KGB?
I am working for the Chinese government, Mr. Rainer.
But I understood it was KGB who planned my escape.
Oh, it was. We merely stepped in before them.
You mean that the Russians don't know I'm out of prison?
I should think it very unlikely at the moment. But it won't be long before they do. As you are aware from personal experience, Mr. Rainer, our friends are experts at acquiring information.
I don't know who the devil you are.
You may call me Mr. Kwong. It is not my name, but it will suffice.
Well, Mr. Kwong, perhaps you will explain why I've been brought to the Chinese legation.
Surely, Mr. Rainer, you can supply the answer to that from your own intelligence.
I demand that the Russians are notified at once.
You are not in a position to demand anything, Mr. Rainer. Let me remind you that you are an escaped prisoner in the first place, and in the second place, this is the Chinese legation, inviolate under diplomatic law.
You intend keeping me a prisoner here?
I prefer to say a guest for an indefinite period.
And why split hairs? What's the object?
You have been very successful double agent, Mr. Rayner. For a considerable number of years, you have been in possession of secrets concerning both the English government and the Soviet Union. You are aware of their spy network.
I see.
Of course you do. You are an intelligent man.
You're not going to get anything out of me, Mr. Kwong.
I wouldn't be too hasty, Mr. Rayner.
When the KGB find out what's happened...
What can they do?
They won't just shrug their shoulders.
It will be interesting to see. They certainly won't risk a diplomatic incident or any trouble with Pekin.
They've got that already. Relations are hardly amicable, are they?
A slight friction, perhaps. We don't see eye to eye with many of their policies.
This is hardly likely to improve things.
That need not concern you, Mr. Rayner. All you are required to do is to write down a full statement of everything that you know or knew relating to the secret activities of the British and Soviet governments.
Why should I?
There are many answers to that question, Mr. Rayner.
Give me one.
It would be to your advantage.
How?
You would not find us ungenerous, Mr. Rayner. You must be in possession of a great deal of information. Important documents pass through your hands, Mr. Rayner. You are also able to deliver to KGB a number of British agents working in East Germany. I've no doubt that you did the same for a number of Soviet agents working in the West.
Do you think the Russians would have planned my escape if that were true?
That depends on the reason, Mr. Rayner. Perhaps when we anticipated that plan and brought you here, we saved you from a great deal of unpleasantness.
Are you suggesting...
Nothing. The Russians are a cautious and suspicious people, Mr. Rayner. They suffer from a great fear of the West. Anyone they are afraid of is liquidated. But you are safe here.
A comforting thought.
A room has been prepared for you. You will find paper and pens, or if you prefer it, a tape recorder.
You seem to be taking things for granted.
It would be preferable if you agreed willingly. The alternative would, I assure you, be extremely painful.
I see.
I am sure you are going to be sensible. We need the information you can give us, Mr. Rayner, and we shall go to any lengths to get it. You understand? To any lengths.
This is quite an unexpected development, Miss Dane. Are you quite sure that you made no mistake?
Well, of course I am, Mr. Crail. They took Mr. Blake to the Chinese legation.
Dear me, this is most annoying.
Annoying?
It completely upset all my plans.
Your plans? What about Mr. Blake?
Oh, yes, indeed, most disappointing. I was sure it was the Russians who were planning the escape.
Well, it wasn't. So what are you going to do about it?
My dear Miss Dane, what can I do about it?
Well, you better think of something.
One has to be careful. A foreign embassy is part of the country it represents.
You mean that you're not going to force them to release him?
Any such action could have far-reaching repercussions. We'd better wait and see. Possibly we shall discover how this mix-up occurred.
But if there's no longer any reason for Mr. Blake to be Charles Rayner, I don't see that...
The original reason seems to have become sidetracked. But, of course, we can't admit the substitution. Both the Department and the Foreign Office would strenuously deny even a hint of such a thing.
Which nobody would believe for a moment.
Naturally. But it's the correct procedure. Every government in this world knows it doesn't mean a thing.
How diplomatic.
Exactly. Now, my dear, since there's nothing we can do, how would you like to come out with me for a bite of supper?
I shouldn't like it at all.
Come, come. Take your mind off things. Nothing like a pleasant interlude in times of stress.
No, thank you, Mr. Crail. Your idea of a pleasant interlude would not be mine.
Excuse me. Hello? Crail speaking. Oh, yes, what is it? Good heavens, how did it happen? Anyone hurt? Oh, dear. That complicates matters. Yes, all right, I understand. Goodbye. That was Tinker.
Tinker? What's happened?
They had a car accident. Nobody hurt. But Charles Rayner has escaped.
What?
Not a very pleasant bit of news, is it?
It was this fool on the bicycle. Shot out from a side lane, and the next second we landed in a ditch. When we'd sorted ourselves out, Rayner had scooted.
I've told her to strip off those chaps from the yard.
Well, it wasn't their fault, Mr. Coosey. It wasn't anybody's fault except that nit on the bike.
So now the real Charles Rayner is free.
And the governor's inside the Chinese legation. All of a bit of a mix-up, innit?
Oh, what happens next? I suppose Rayner will make for his Russian contacts.
It may take him some time. Every policeman in the country will be looking for him. They don't know the escape wasn't genuine.
Well, it's genuine now, isn't it?
Yes, and Rayner's going to tell the Russians, isn't he? I mean, they know all about Mr. Blake.
Rayner didn't know that.
Oh, you know what I mean. They'll know that it wasn't Rayner who escaped from the prison.
Going to make it awkward for the governor.
Awkward? Don't you see how serious it is?
The thing is, what can we do?
Difficult situation. Can't mess about with the legation, you know. Lead to international complications.
Oh, I see. So we just sit here and twiddle our thumbs, do we?
I'll back Blake to deal with most situations.
There's always a first time, though, isn't there?
Good morning, Mr. Rayner.
Is it? Not having a window, I can't hazard an opinion.
I brought you the morning newspapers. You appear to be famous or infamous, depending on your personal view.
Which is yours?
My view is always governed by expediency, Mr. Raymond.
I have hit the headlines.
Your escape is attributed to a carefully planned Soviet plot. It's rather amusing.
How did you become aware that there was a plan for my escape?
Mr. Raynor, you do not have the monopoly of being a double agent.
I see. I suppose that accounts for the short notice I got.
It was unfortunate, but we had to act quickly.
I hope you'll find all the trouble was worth it.
That is up to you.
I'm afraid any information I can give you is rather out of date.
Some, naturally, but I believe you know quite a lot about Alexis Andretsky, do you not?
Andretsky.
Oh, don't pretend that you haven't heard of Andretsky, Mr. Renner.
Who is Andretsky?
Perhaps you know him better as Unit 1.
Yeah, of course I've heard of Unit 1.
I was sure you had.
But I never met him.
He controls the British network of Soviet counter-espionage. His headquarters are either in or near London.
Why don't we reverse roles? You know more about it than I do, Mr. Kwong.
I can hardly believe that, Mr. Rayner. Come. I want to know the name he is passing under in this country and address from which he works.
Why?
There are a great number of Soviet agents in China, Mr. Rayner. The majority of them are Chinese, some in high places. The KGB have a very high opinion of Andretsky. They would be willing to make a deal sooner than any harm should come to Unit 1.
A neat idea, Mr. Kwong, depending, of course, on whether you can get hold of Unit 1.
You know Andretsky. We are aware that you met him several times when you worked at the Foreign Office.
Your information is wrong.
You are a very obstinate man, Mr. Rayner. A pity. We might have settled this matter quite amicably. However, you will have all day to think it over. I shall be away until tomorrow.
Supposing I could supply you with what you want to know, what happens to me afterwards?
That is a problem, Mr. Rayner. If we let you go, you will be picked up by the police or the Soviet agents. How does China appeal to you?
I adore lychees, but then again I like stroganoff. It's a difficult choice.
I'm afraid the only alternative would appeal to you even less, Mr. Royler.
Any news from Didcot, Paula?
No, he should be here at any moment, though.
Do you think we ought to go through with this?
Well, nobody else is going to do anything, are they? Mr. Crail just looks down that long nose of his and reels off yards of rubbish about the fundamental principles of the Foreign Service.
What are they?
Do nothing if you can help it, and if you do something by accident, never admit that you've done it. That'll be Didcot.
Oh, I'll go. Come in, Didcot. Well, what's the deal?
It can be done, but it'll be risky.
All right, let's hear the worst.
The only possible hope is from the back. There's a door in a high wall that leads to a square yard. Tradesmen deliver that way.
Guard on the door?
I don't know. It's kept locked. The tradesmen ring and someone comes and unlocks the door.
Oh, there's bound to be a guard, particularly at night.
Almost certain, I should think.
Even if we got inside the place, how do we find Mr. Blake? It's a large building.
Well, we can't try every room until we find the right one, can
we'll
we?
We'll just have to think of some way.
You won't have to give yourselves any unnecessary headaches.
Oh, Mr. Blake.
Sorry to startle you.
How the blazes did you get here, Governor?
Through the front door.
But how did you get out of the legation?
Actually, I was let out by the back door.
And we've been worrying ourselves sick, planning to rescue you. What happened?
It was quite simple, really. The Russians had an agent planted in the legation. Chinese, of course. Works there as a clerk. The chief security bloke, Mr. Kwong, was out, and this chap took the opportunity to have a little chat with me. Result, here I am.
Oh, that's a relief.
It all worked out rather well, in spite of the unexpected switch. This chap, Ho Pin, has arranged for me to meet Unit 1.
Well, who's he?
Alexis Andretsky, the man in control of the Soviet spy network over here. Crail will be delighted. It's the main objective of the whole operation, after all, to find Unit 1.
Where are you going to meet this man?
On the platform of Oakwood, a station on the Cock Foster's line, round about 8 this evening.
Well, how will you know him?
Well, he'll know me, as Rayner, of course.
Mr. Blake, you don't know it, but the real Rayner has escaped.
What?
We had an accident going to Cornwall. Rayner got away in the General's model.
It can be a bit awkward if he contacts any of his Russian friends before I meet this chap Andreevsky.
Well, what are you going to do?
To risk it. Rayner won't have any money. It's going to be difficult for him to get anywhere dodging the police as well. His photographs splashed all over the front page of the newspaper, so he'll have to keep well away from the populated areas. Yes, I think there's a good chance that he won't be able to chuck a spanner into the works.
Anything I can do?
I don't think so, Didcot. Not at the moment. Paula, get on to Crail and Coots. I want them both round here at 5 o'clock. Don't tell Crail why. I'll explain when he gets here.
Well, I'm glad Chief Inspector Coots is coming, too.
Why?
A girl needs police protection when she's dealing with Mr. Crail.
We're the only people to get out. Platform deserted.
So it's a pretty good place for a rendezvous, eh?
Not bad, Crail. He'll be coming by train.
Ah, key man. It's the greatest piece of luck. You've got a good job, Dick.
You've no idea what this chap looks like, have you?
Not the faintest. Rayner would know him. I should imagine that this was a favorite type of meeting place.
Can't think of a better one. No chance of being overheard, eh? You can't bug a station.
There's a waiting room over there. We'd better make ourselves scarce, Mr. Crail. Don't want to frighten the bird away.
All right, Chief Inspector.
He might not come by train, you know. Could be fly enough to get here earlier and spy out the land.
There's no reason why he should be suspicious, unless the real Rayner has succeeded in getting in touch with him. In that case, he won't come at all.
Rayner seems to have vanished into the blue. We've checked on one or two reports from people who said they'd seen him, but nothing came of them.
You'll be all right in here. Now, keep clear of the window. As soon as our man starts talking to me, you can come out and grab him. After that, he's all yours.
I've got men all round the station in case of trouble.
I hope there won't be any. I hate violence.
Don't worry, Crail. We'll take care of you. I doubt if any foreign agent would willingly harm a hair of your head. You and your department must be their greatest asset.
Really, Blake, I think that's going a little too far. I admit that we've made a few mistakes.
Now, listen, here comes the train. Now, keep out of sight and don't muck things up.
Good evening, Mr. Rayner.
Good evening, Mr. Andreevsky. I brought two friends with me who are anxious to meet you.
Great Scott! It's Gordon Hanson.
You know this man, Mr. Crail?
Of course I do. He works in the department.
And also for the Soviet Union. This is Unit 1. You've been waiting to meet him for a very long time.
Will you have soda with your brandy, Mr. Crail?
No, thank you. This has given me a very severe shock, Blake.
You ought to be getting quite used to this sort of thing by now, Crail.
Hanson, I can't believe it. First-class background, Eton and Oxford.
With a strong recommendation from the Russian government.
You don't seem to realize how serious this is, Blake. All sorts of questions were raised in the House. It'll shake the people's faith in our security system.
Very probably. This man Hanson was able to fool a lot of you. You all fell for the old school tie.
I'm sure you'd like a little more brandy, Mr. Crail.
Thank you. Yes, just a spot. Oh, this really has shaken me.
There you are. That'll give you strength for the next shock.
What's that?
Have you thought what's going to happen about Rayner? He's escaped with the connivance of your department.
Now, look here, Blake. You know perfectly well why that was done. Anyway, he escaped while he was in charge of two men from Scotland Yard and your assistant.
Ah, here it comes. Blame everybody else but yourself. However, what are you going to do about Rayner?
Oh, that's a job for the Home Office.
What did I tell you? Pass the buck. Well, you needn't worry about Rayner. He's in the Chinese embassy.
What?
Tinker delivered him at the tradesman's entrance a few minutes ago.
How did you find him?
A policeman spotted him. I got Coots to cooperate. It saves a lot of explanation, doesn't it?
But he knows a lot about our security.
He's been inside quite some time, so it's all out of date. On the other hand, what he knows about the Russian network in China... Still, that's not our pigeon. They can all take it from there. It should keep them quite busy.
That story in our Sexton Blake series was called Double and Quit and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory Tinker, and Heather Chasen Paula. Mr. Crail was played by Rafe Truman, the prison governor and a prisoner by Bernard Brown, a prison warder and Didcot by Humphrey Morton, Mr. Kwong by Frank Henderson, and Detective Chief Inspector Coots by Wilfred Babbage. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.